Have you ever wondered how sound can heal, inspire, and transform your life? What if the vibrations around you could unlock your true potential and guide you to a deeper sense of harmony? Welcome to Sound Pathways, the groundbreaking journey into the healing power of sound, creativity, and connection with your host, Dr. Karen Olson. In each episode, she explores the profound link between your mind, body, and spirit. From composers and musicians to sound healers and visionary leaders, she'll dive into captivating conversations that reveal how sound shapes your reality, heals our wounds, and helps us manifest our dreams. And guess what? You're part of the conversation. So call in and ask questions and experience personalized sound healing live. And let your sound be your guide to the life you've always dreamed of.
Hello and welcome. Today we're going to be talking about the mystery of following the spark of creativity. And please help me welcome Rachel Evans. She is this amazing musician and visionary. She does so many beautiful things that have helped people on this planet and helped people transform. And I'm really excited that we get to have this conversation today. It's about finding our rhythm so that we can really move ourselves forward. And Rachel, she's not only an internationally acclaimed violist and violinist, she's a deep listener, a guide, a creative force who helps others find their light through sound, movement, intuitive teaching. And she really lives everything that she shares with other people. And she's shared so much with me. My life wouldn't be the same. So I'm so glad that I could share her with you. It's so beautiful. So I want to tell you a little bit about her background. She's a graduate of the Juilliard School and a recipient of the prestigious Coleman Chamber Music Award. Rachel has performed on stages across the world, from the Santa Fe Opera and Apollo's Fire to major international festivals like Berkeley, Utrecht, and Carmel Bach. She moves effortlessly through Baroque, medieval, contemporary, and improvisational genres, with both the viola and the violin. Beyond her extensive classical resume, Rachel is a transformative coach, a sound and movement healer, and a true innovator in the space of energy-based creativity. Through her work with Watermark Arts and her teaching platform, Music Movement Mastery, she empowers others to unlock their full potential and to follow the spark of their dreams. We go way back. We first met in youth orchestra in Minnesota, in the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra and the Minnesota Orchestra. And we later studied together at Juilliard, and it didn't end there. Over the years, we both supported each other as we explored all these ways to expand ourselves, expand our mind, expand our energy. And it's just been a really beautiful thing. We both really seek to share and find beliefs of universal truth, the healing power of music, and to be inspired spiritually in our lives. And also during the pandemic, we had this private mastermind group on Tuesdays. We talked in the morning and we would set our goals for the week and for our lives. And here we are, right? Yeah. On the other side of it all. Right. So thank you. Thank you. And Rachel, thank you and welcome. And I'm just so excited.
Thank you, Karen. It's an honor to be here, and I'm excited too. And I'm excited to share whatever I can that would help your audience and continue our conversation that's been going on all these years.
Yes, thank you. So we are wondering about listening, how to listen deeply. I think one of the keys to life is how to listen to ourselves, how to listen to each other, how to listen to guidance from above. So what do you feel are some of the experiences that helped you to be able to sharpen your listening and to really deeply and intuitively connect with music and your dreams and your goals and all the things you do and with others in your life?
Well, There's, it's hard to say exactly what, because I think it's was in my nature to be a teacher. And so I'm a big sister of many. I've 13, 11 of my 14 siblings. I was number three. And I think that, you have all these, you want to be listened to. And then you want to, if you're going to teach, you have to, some part of you has to be open to listening to what's going on so you can offer something that's going to be of use to the person. And everybody's so different. So I can say that. And when I was an infant, I apparently loved music, and we only had a couple of recordings, but I can tell you, I could listen to Beethoven's Violin Spring Sonata to this day as if it's the first time. So I think there's something about having your mind ready to listen to something as if it's the first time is a big part of it, or any piece of music that I play. If I can get to that, that means I can play it as if it's the first time. If I'm teaching somebody, if I can notice if I'm holding a stale, static image of the person, or if I'm there with them creating their experience and my experience together at the same time, if I'm really fresh there and really, nobody's always perfect, but noticing and getting oneself to that. So I have had amazing teachers, and so it's been my teachers, the methodologies I've bumped into that I've opened myself to learning many, 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 and then my desire to reach the kids and adults that I teach.
It's so beautiful. I love it if you could share one or two of your stories. What's amazing about you is how you think out of the box. And here we are, where we could talk a whole many shows just on Shop Talk about playing the stringed instrument and all that there is to that. But when you can think about the whole person, the whole student, and I know there's been a number of times when a child's been really blocked and they're really suffering and they just didn't think they could go on, and you find this way to just transform and change their lives and they go on to soar. So many. Could you remember? Could you
There's,
choose one?
yeah, I, the one that really comes to mind at this moment, and you're right, there's so many. There was a young boy who came in. He was an excellent student, actually. And he came in one day and he was kind of off, like dizzy, a little off. And I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, I was playing football and I got knocked down." So I know that, you can have residual, and I had learned something called educational kinesiology, and I knew it could be useful. So I said, "Well, okay, would you want to do one of these balances, they're called?" And I said, "But we need a goal. What would be your goal?" And he said, "Well, if you get a touchdown, the coach calls you by a special name. And I really want to be called by that name." And now I got to tell you, my idea of the person was not that he was an athlete, and so I was nervous at first. And I thought, well, no, you got to bring God into it. You've got to bring in the divine relationship and give it to them. Like, get the, I'm not doing it just myself. So I just let that go. And his goal was to get a touchdown. So we did the process. And while we were doing the process, I said to him, "I got this idea. Maybe you'll see your opportunity at some point in the game. You'll see your opportunity." So I just threw that out as a possibility. Well, I didn't see him. We finished the balance and I didn't see him for a couple of weeks. I didn't hear anything. And I was, I'm wondering what happened. And I run into his mom in the grocery store. And she said, "Oh, he's here. You should go find him. He's somewhere. Just go find him." And so I went to find him, and he said, "Miss Evans, I got the touchdown." And the next words out of his mouth were, "I saw my opportunity. It was at the very end of the game, and it was the winning touchdown." And he was so excited. And I said, "Wow, did the coach call you by that special name?" And he said, "Yes, the coach called me by the special name." And it was the last game of the season. So, it's just that you don't know. You don't know when somebody's life is going to be touched, when you're going to be touched by somebody's life, and what is going to be the magic that's going to come through for that person. So that was a big That was just wonderful. As you can probably see from my face, I can't see it, but I'm still so happy about that.
That's so exciting. What's really cool about this kind of work is we're unstoppable. There's just no limit. I
That's
just
right.
played with Diane Warren, and that her document is called Relentless. But I kind of like unstoppable even more, because really the sky's the limit. We
That's
limit
right.
ourselves. We in our dreams. And I always talk about dreams. I like to live dreams. I'm grateful I've got to relive dreams, but we can only dream with our own little mind. And it's so amazing when you dream even bigger than your own mind, because really what comes is so much bigger than what we could imagine. So why just try to go for the practical, what everybody would figure out on a spreadsheet? I mean, I would be nowhere if I did that ever. Or if I listened to, I've had to work hard not to listen to people, but the people that didn't think I could do things could have really drowned out the people that said I could. And I also, since I'm a big Diane Warren fan, since I just played with her, she said, "You only need one. I only needed one person to believe in myself, and it was myself."
That's right.
So, but it helps if we also have someone else, like Rachel.
Well, that's
Yes, and
true.
how
Yeah.
we could be that for other people. And when we do it for other people, we learn more how to do it for ourselves. It's been said, if you're really critical, like, it's hard to not be a perfectionist, especially when you're at Juilliard, right? I mean, perfection is actually a real thing, right? And you find that out, but perfection is unattainable. So when you just go for your best, and even that can be great, why not, right? Then
Yeah,
it works out.
I think at Juilliard you learn that yes, perfection is a real thing. I mean, the level of perfection some of those already international stars had reached was real, but you were held to account, and I think that was the best education, the best reason, and same with Curtis and any of the great conservatories. You are held to account, so it causes you to get up and meet the level that you said you wanted to be at. And that is huge. There is something about that when the teacher finally says, like, it's not working, it's on you. And then you get further. And thank heavens that I did that.
It also reminds me of, they say you're kind of the accumulation of the nine people you're around, and to re really reach higher, to be around people that that you really admire, people that you, a level you really respect, and you want to see yourself at, even if you don't feel you're there, that's even a good thing. I
Total.
remember when I'd sit on the subway, there was a sign and there was a clown, and it said, "To dream of being good is not enough when you want to be great." So where's the balance where you want to go for greatness and you're also very grateful for what you're able to do? That was one of my victories through stage fright. At the end, before a recital or something, my level would go so high and I'd want to go right out on stage and be at that level. And it was higher than I could really reach. And that was very nerve-wracking when I said, "Let me just go out and do what I can do today." That worked out a lot better. So that kind of ties into being in the moment and embracing who we are right now. And then we also leave room for the divine to come in and kind of raise us up a little bit if we're not just struggling so hard on our own. I never thought of it that way. I like that idea.
Yes,
So we're
absolutely.
talking so much today about creativity, which is, you can interchange it with a spark, with inspiration, all of those good things. And some people might feel disconnected. Like, think some people, there's just a tendency, I know I've had it, where, well, that person, of course, they could do it. Look at everything they have, and they're so lucky, and they got the money, and they got the connections, and they have the background, and they have all the technique. Of course, they could do it. But what about me? And we can feel kind of left behind and not connected. And that's when we really have to get busy. and dig deeper and find out who we are, because nobody else can do who we are any better than us. But what would you have to say to people who feel blocked or are listening? They say, well, yeah, look at they had this and that, but what could I do? Do you have any thoughts for those for people that are feeling stuck or discouraged?
Well, get out a piece of paper or get out a journal, first of all, and start writing exactly where you are. You know, what feels stuck and what are the advantages? What have you got from that? What are the advantages to being stuck? What would be the disadvantages to being on Easy Street as you imagine it? And really look, because you'll find out why some part of you is feels safer or it's more intelligent for you to be stuck. So really look at that. I learned that from Monica Ion. She has wonderful work, and boy, is that great. Or you can look at what's incomplete. Where do I feel incomplete with something that might be causing me to feel less than worthy of being unstuck? And then you can, write that down and what the impact of that is. So I think that a lot of times we have to look at where we're, quote, stuck and kind of embrace that stuck person. And Gail Brenner is a great book, Suffering is Optional. We can be stuck, but we don't have to suffer stuckness. And we can say, okay, what could I do for 5 minutes that would cause me to feel free, like maybe read a different book or pull something off the shelf or Google something, or I really want to get this table cleaned up. Maybe I can take 5 minutes and see what I can do. I mean, you can take 5 minutes and do something. That's something that it could be very helpful as well. So, but embracing the part of you that is stuck and realizing that it's in a what is the duality of positive and negatives about being stuck? And if you can look at those, honestly, write down 10 advantages to being stuck and 10 disadvantages to being unstuck. You'll balance that with the resistance you have to the way things are. Because if you can be with the way things are, then you can change them.
I love that. That's really beautiful. It also makes me think about the whole idea of vibrations and how we could use vibrations to have more awareness. There's this, David Hawkins has this pyramid where he puts a vibrational level to all our different feelings. And so depression and jealousy and shame and guilt, they get a very low vibrational level. And as we rise higher to acceptance and hope and love and peace and bliss, the vibrational level goes so much higher. And if we really pause and we really tune in to where we're at when we're feeling really down and discouraged and so much less than, it's a very low vibrational energy. And it's hard to be creative. It's hard to make things happen from that lower level because kind of that's what we're attracting. Sometimes we even are more prone to things not working out as well because of the way we're kind of viewing things. It's not to say that it's our fault at all, but in terms of an awareness and how to move from being in that lower stuck place to a higher, rising to a higher place, it might mean reaching out to someone that you admire, someone that you know has overcome things that could help you. It might mean playing a drum or a bell or a chime or humming and just kind of trying to move through the stuck energy. And sometimes, very oftentimes, it's also messages we heard when we were a child about if we weren't enough, we couldn't do this, we weren't as much as our siblings, or things just weren't good for us. They weren't as good for us. We weren't supported in the way we needed. And that kind of becomes imprinted on who we are. And it's that deep level of subconscious beliefs that we really need a higher energy, a universal energy, a force to really help us break through it and to reprogram our minds with the messages of self-love and of worth. And our dreams in great detail. because we're meant to live them. That's why we're dreaming them.
There's also wonderful somatic work as well, like the continuum work that I did for years. There's the seven circle, five circles, seven circles. I've done a lot of movement, and I think that somatically you can clear things from your body that have gotten inside. And there's a lot that can really make a difference. Turn on some music and just dance, even if it's a slow dance. And first, you know, do different parts of your body. Jennifer Jimenez has great transcendance. There's so many ways to do it, and different. Moving the body is really important. It moves the emotions. And you're absolutely right. David Hawkins is brilliant. And you don't have to go up by increments. When you do something like dance or get out your colors and draw, or if you play an instrument or sing, just tone. You don't even have to know a song, or put on your favorite music and sing along. You will jump your vibrational level. There is just, it's just physics. You can't. In fact, somebody even said, if you look up, like for salesmen, if they may have to make cold calls, if they look up to the ceiling, their voice will sound positive and happy. Versus if they look down. So if you look up at the ceiling, you are just going to have a happier sounding voice. So it's interesting how the physics of the body, you know, are also designed to take us towards life, because we're either moving towards life or we're moving towards non-life. It's not the place we want to go. So, you know, it's very, yeah, very interesting. Taking B vitamins, you know, I mean, I don't want to give any medical advice here, but you know, there are eating foods that you like that support your mental well-being is also very important, right?
Yes, and taking deep breaths,
deep breaths,
expanding our stomach, not just from our chest, which is where we breathe from when we're anxious. And also, I love to do that in my own sound healing programs and work, is help people shift and move through those locks. It's there's so much power in all of that. Can you share with us a challenge you had, like a pivotal moment that you might remember where you had to dig really deep and feel your creative strength in your life or in a performance?
Well, I've learned to surrender. I guess I was really fraught on my day of my Juilliard audition, the driving out there. I was in a quartet and driving out there, and I was terrified. And I'd had a very difficult year away from home for the first time. And of course, if you live in a family of 14, you know, you've got an internal structure that is profound. And you go by yourself in your own room in a house full of people you don't know. I didn't have any money for a dorm or anything. I didn't have enough food to eat. I didn't have money for food very much. So my mental health was challenged. And, you know, my dad told me to start running, which I did, and he told me to take brewer's yeast, which is full of B vitamins. So even though I have, you know, I have a gag reflex, I hated that, it was the most disgusting thing, I was so determined that I was going to not fail or fall like into the oblivion. I drank that stuff, and I went and I walked down the street in my nice little dress, a simple thing. And I carried, you know, I walked down Broadway from 92nd Street to Juilliard to 66th Street. And I got to that place, and of course I had my rehearsal, and I was so scared. And I got to tell you, from the moment I walked in, I said, well, there's nothing I can really do except do it. And I just decided that whatever they asked for, whatever happened, was perfect. I don't know how that came over me. I was about 20. And everything they asked for, I said, okay. And I played perfectly. Now, yeah. I can tell you, I hadn't done that in all my auditions. We were doing lots of different auditions. And the last piece was a very loud, and I thought, oh, they're just going to think I'm a big fraud. But instead, they all came up and said, great, wonderful, come study with me. And I can tell you, that was one of the best That was one of the pivotal moments of my life that I saw that I just had to be able to surrender, and I had to be able to trust myself, and I had made good choices for what to play because I knew what I was walking into. But I just walked in with trust. What can I say? So yeah, I think that was it, and I did everything I could to make it work. I did the walk before, I breathed, I drank the stuff I had to drink to get the vitamins working, through my body. I did everything necessary, but then I finally just had to let go and say yes. And that was a big moment in my life.
Well, that's so exciting. And all these years later, you can draw back on it like it is just happening now.
Yeah, boy, I feel it's like it is.
I'd like to invite everybody to think of one of those moments when you surpassed all of your doubts, like in spite of yourself, whatever you did, it happened and it was miraculous. It was amazing. And I think when we can, it's kind of giving me chills right now. When we can each recall even one of those moments, maybe you even have to imagine it and have it become who you are. And the next time you have something tough, you can just remember the energy and the feeling of that. Sometimes my success has come to remember how I'm going to feel afterwards, how good I'm going to feel when that performance went so well. And it's amazing. Or I remember when I was writing my doctoral dissertation, I imagined the spine of my dissertation on the NYU library shelf. And it really motivated me to finish it.
Beautiful.
And I think we can all find those
Yeah,
times.
I think it's amazing to think of memory as something you can do into the future. It's memories not just in the past. You can remember the future the way you want it to be. I like that.
Yeah. Do you have any particular exercises you do if you aren't, well, I could almost say I know you do. Could you share with us some things you might do to help balance your brain and just
Yes.
to help you feel so strong?
Well, the educational kinesiology I learned from Paul Dennison, who was the creator of it, that there are four things you can do. That very takes 5 minutes or less, just a few minutes. Number one, drink water. Your brain uses the water to fire the sugars in your brain, give you energy. And when you are nervous or you're learning a lot of new things, that you use up your water. And my students are always so surprised when I can tell them, I can show them through muscle testing that they need water. And every time they drink it and they see that they're strong and then they go to do the thing, they really notice. So they're always asking me, see if I need water. Usually that means they do, but it's fun. And so water's first. Second of all, we have these points. They're called Kidney 21 points here, and they're just at the top of the collarbone, and you cover your navel with one hand, and you in either side of your sternum, and you just really give those a good rub, and for about 15 to 30 seconds. And I have one hand that's down here on my belly here, covering my navel area to ground me. So, and I rub those, and then I switch hands. So I do it with both hands. This frees your eyes. And it also frees your gets your electrical, charges, positive and negative. There's a great book called The Electric Body. And so here, or maybe it's The Body Electric, I can't remember. I read it many, many years ago. So that's a very important one and great for if you're sitting in front of the computer a lot. Then after you do those two things, you can cross crawl, which is to take your left hand, you could do it sitting down and lift your right and touch your right knee by lifting your leg and do the same thing on the other side. So your right hand touches your left knee and your left hand touches your right knee. You can also do this standing up and just do this for 1 to 2 minutes. It's fantastic. And it gets your midline active. And so this is just a warm up for everything. Gets you present also in what you're doing, and then you can take one foot And you can see if you cross your hands like this and see which thumb is on top. Some people have the right thumb, some people, mine is on the left. So I prefer to put my left ankle over my right. And then I put my hands with my, the backs of my hands facing each other. And I take my left hand and so that my palms are facing. And I put my fingers like the little church exercise. And I just bring my hands down and up against my body. And I just sit like this for 1 minute. And this
And you
just,
put your tongue beneath your behind your top teeth.
I guess so, yes, on the roof of your mouth. And you just sit quietly for a minute, and it relieves that emotional and environmental stress, whatever traffic you were in or anything you're dealing with. And this is great to do with another person or your child or anybody who's upset. So you just breathe. And the other minute, then you uncross your feet and plant them, and you just hold your fingertips together, and you can sit with your hands in your lap or wherever you like them, and you sit for 1 more minute while you just let that energy circulate through your body and just calm and get centered. And that's a great, those 4 things get you ready for just about anything, especially if you're not sure of what to do next.
Thank you, Rachel. That's so calming. While we're in this relaxed state, you love to write poetry amongst your many, many things. Would you have a poem you might share with us?
Well, thank you for asking. I had one I was hoping to find, but I didn't. I have a poem I found. I like writing some poems that are sort of rhythm poems, and so I couldn't find the one I had spoken. I've mentioned, but I'm cleaning up the inauthenticity that if you are you, I can't be me. And the other way too, if I am me, you can't be you. I think I can. It has been my motto. It has been in my core, keeping shut what could be an open door, an open world, an open sky. Now, Rachel, don't go looking for a why. Create yourself from your word without a maybe, but, or should. Feel the power to create a self that knows itself as great. Include others, big and small, and see yourself as one big all of it, everything that you desire. Light the world with your inner fire. Claim your health, claim your peace, claim your knowing, freedom growing just like yeast. Let the others claim theirs too. Make an offering that's true. Live today that it matters. Leave behind a life in tatters. Are you ready for this? I'm asking you, are you ready? Because everything matters. So give it up, let it go, and fill your cup. And it's up to you. Make an us with a capital U. Do it with purpose. Make it your own. Get yourself on the telephone. Connect with others. Give them what you got. Strike now while the fire is hot. Self-determination is the only way. This won't just be any other day. I love you all, and I love me too. Now, please do let me hear from you.
Oh, I love that. And this is a perfect segue. Rachel, how can people hear from you? How can people connect to you? How can people talk to you? Where can they find you?
Well, I have a website. It's called musicmethodmastery.com. And it gives my philosophy of teaching, really. And I have a clip of myself playing Bach. You can you can email me from there, or you can email me at r_evans838@icloud.com. I would love to hear from anybody that's interested in what I offer. I am a teacher. I teach also elderly people who I don't teach them. I coach them. I help them remember songs, even with dementia. I've done this a number of times. It's been very rewarding and wonderful for the people. I do little children, I teach them, and I teach beginning piano, which is kind of an introduction to music and rhythm and words and singing and play, really music as play. And then I teach violin and viola, and I teach piano, beginning piano to older kids and adults. And then I put together programs that include students, professionals, and amateurs. So that's another, if you're interested in being part of that and live in New York or in the, I live in the Hudson Valley. I have made an arrangement of Peter and the Wolf for, I play violin and viola. So there's a violin, viola, woodwind quintet, and percussion and bass. So that's a lot of fun if you want to try putting that on. I'm about the point where I will, get these parts printed because this is our third annual very successful performance year for that. And I work with a wonderful creative woman that makes a cranky, and so we do performances of for children. So yeah, I've got that's a real, if you want something for your community, that would be amazing. And we've also done the Camille Saint-Saëns Carnival of the Animals. And so yeah, there are lots of things, but I'd love to hear from anybody.
And also, you do some of your lessons on Zoom.
Yes, I
Do you have
do.
students in France and
France,
California?
California, Nevis.
So it's a small world.
Oh, it's a small world. It's a big small world.
So we're going to take a little break and then we're going to come back and get to t speak a little more with Rachel. Thank you so much.
Are you ready to elevate your energy and awaken your dreams to their fullest potential? This isn't just music. It's transformative, intuitive healing, sacred frequencies channeled to shift your energy, dissolve blockages, and align you with your highest potential. It's your path to vibrant health, limitless dreams, and a life of purpose. Each note is harmonized to your unique frequency, unlocking profound healing, inner harmony, and a deep rejuvenating renewal. Discover the powerful tools of sound healing you carry with you. Visit KarenOlson.com/events to sign up for the free webinar titled Release Stress and Find Inner Peace Through Sound, and explore personalized one-on-one sessions at KarenOlson.com/services. The moment for peace is now. Don't wait. Embrace the healing you deserve.
Thank you. So we've been referring to a lot of different mind-body spirit practices, as we're so connected and our minds are so powerful and moving our bodies and all of that. And you have studied so many beautiful modalities, even some recently. I would love if you could share some of those with us.
Well, I was thinking about continuum. Continuum was created. Continuum is a form of movement. Continuum movement. You can look, I think it's continuummovement.com. I'm not sure. Emily Conrad Daoud created Continuum years ago. And because I knew about educational kinesiology and I always had summer festivals, I couldn't go to their meetings. And Emily was a keynote speaker at one of their first ones after I was part of it. And so I went to the Open Center in New York and did a week with her. And I learned how to make sounds go into my body that have to do with the fluid system of my body. And that really changed my teaching. And even before that, actually, was Beatrice Lees, who was in New York teaching a lot of the freelance musicians the state of the art of movement. My mother was a dancer, and I couldn't dance because of my lower back issues. But Bea Lees, her sister was Violin Spolin, who started Theater Games. And her nephew started Second City. And I was trained Alan Alda and that whole area, Mike Nichols and all the improv actors and all those through Theater Games. And so I was lucky enough to get Bea Lees as a teacher, and she taught me the creative spiritual life. And so one day I came in, and I said, Bea, I've got a voice that told me to pick up my viola. And she taught me to let space move me. And first she'd spend time freeing our skeleton from our muscles. And then we would move, improvise in space and let the space move us. So one day I was home and I heard, pick up your viola and do the same thing with your viola and let the movement create the sound that comes out of your viola. And so I went back and I said, can I? And she said, show me. And I showed her. So she had me going to Mike Nichols' theater school, working with all the theater students, and we created theater that way. And then from there, I had my daughter, and we picked up my daughter and moved her in space. And from there also, I started following her voice. Now this, I really, if you're a young mother or you think you're going to have children, I really recommend this because it was amazing. I just followed my daughter's voice. And I lifted her and I moved her in space. And actually we passed her and she became the most beautiful dancer and singer and improviser. And moreover, I never had a good singing voice until then. Bea died and I discovered continuum. And once I started doing those sounds, suddenly I had a beautiful singing voice because I was just making sounds. And from those sounds, I was letting my body fluids move my muscles. So I wasn't doing muscular movement. I was doing intrinsic movement that looked like I was underwater, but you're changing the density of your body. And so your body gets into all these positions you can and holds them easily that you could never do. I could never do. Most people couldn't do. In fact, the first time I did it and I made this simple sound where you put your teeth, your tongue between your teeth and just make a simple sound. And we all made it together. So, you know, you've got this vessel of energy and my legs just lifted right over the top of my head, all the way back and touched the floor. Now that was never going to happen because I always had a stiff lower back. But it happened by itself. And so I went to play a concert that weekend and I was in Avery Fisher Hall at Lincoln Center with Andre Watts. We have the orchestra. And I can tell you, the lights were brighter than I'd ever seen them there. I couldn't miss a note. The expansion of from doing, making those beautiful sounds, and these are tones of all kinds and voice, was just tremendous. So those are two. Continuum movement is definitely something that is valuable. And as I've already said, the kinesiology. And then I studied, you know, spiritual laws with Mary Morrissey. And I study, you know, I haven't stopped studying. I have so many, anything I discover, I study because I share it with my students and makes my life richer.
That's beautiful. I think we can encourage everyone to be so excited to learn, to have the wonder of a child and the mystery and the joy and just that everything's new. Here it's spring, to see the flowers as they're popping through the earth and listening to the birds even more and all the things that we can do to lift our own spirits.
You know, Goethe said that as a flower grows, it was like every part of the flower is more refined than the one that came before. So if you talk about that David Hawkins thing. You can see that from down here, it all comes from the earth, and the negative things are just as important in our world in many ways as the positive because they cause us to grow, right?
Yes.
So as we grow and refine, and then we can find ourselves, whoop, back there, and then we grow and we refine. And so it's like the flowers come back. They come back. The tulips reappear that I planted years ago, right? The tree, the same tree blossoms, only it's bigger and it finds a way to feed even more of itself. So as it grows, that's Walter Russell. So, yeah, it is a time of renewal that is a great metaphor for what we're talking about.
Yes, it's a spark within each of us, and to find that spark, because if you think of a spark, it's this light that's just so quick and fast, and sometimes inspiration is just so quick and fast, and we can miss it. It's not some big announcement, that's some big banner that keeps repeating itself because we blinked and didn't see it the first time. It's sometimes I say it's a whisper. It's just you might not even quite notice, but it's like, yeah, huh, I'm going to think about that. Why don't I try that? And it just keeps growing and becoming more. I think part of the key is having fun. Someone told me once that you can be happy and sad at the same time. I think sometimes when we have really painful, difficult things going on, we are really committed to this very dark, deep struggle that we're having to deal with, and it's just we have to survive. It's one foot in front of the other, doing what we can. But we can, what if we found a moment to still be happy? And then if we find two moments to still be happy, it can just make all the difference. Like one of my things that makes me so happy is creating a project, another album, another piece, another course, another thought that I'm streaming together, whatever it is. It's like I get up in the morning and I'm so excited about that. And I think everybody needs to have that. I wish that for everybody. No, everybody doesn't need it, but I think it's a beautiful gift. Finding those sparks, finding those ways to be creative in all the different ways. Are there any final thoughts about any specific creative habits? I think you've been mentioning them already, but I just really want to keep encouraging people to say yes to their creative spark and whatever that might be. And it might not look like it's artistic. It could be how you deal with a coworker that's been a struggle and seeing that in a new creative way, or whatever the thing is, if it's been a certain kind of relationship that keeps repeating that you just don't seem to be able to let go of, or any way that you feel stuck. The reason I like to talk about this is just because we're all is finding a new path, creating something new in our lives.
You know, I found this very, very short bit of a poem. I would like to I would just I think it's appropriate here.
Thank you.
And it may be a good thing to, towards the end here. You know, I think that there's something called an anhydrobiotic pod. It's one of those, it's like those little monkeys that they dehydrate and they send in the mail and you put them in water and they start to move.
What
Well,
is this? I need more explanation.
okay, so these are the pods. Look, they're beautiful. They look like little like seed pods.
This is something you can buy.
Well, you could buy the little monkeys that that you can buy for children, then you put them in water and
Okay.
they come to life. But no, there's something called an anhydrobiotic pod that is a living being, a living beings, little tiny, tiny little things that come to life in water. But when they're dry, they look like architectural or like seeds that have they have like a geometric shape, and they've got holes anyway, and they blow around in the wind in the desert. And then when the rains come, they find puddles and they come to life. And as the sun is drying those pods, those puddles, they find themselves, they create again their anhydrobiotic pod, and they go back and they can live for hundreds of years like that. It's really profound. I mean, life is just so amazing. And there's a great book called The Secret Knowledge of Water. Really recommend that book that talks about this. So I wrote this poem that had to do with my first boyfriend that I saw many years later. And I realized that this part of me had been buried because of, but this is the end of the poem. Soft brittleness of frozen desire, how to melt you. Anhydrobiotic pod of my soul desiring reimmersion into life, where to place a cool hidden spring to gently warm you. How to blow a certain breeze to carry you there. To coax light to shine ceaselessly upon you and birds to sing to wake you to new life.
Beautiful.
Thank you. I think that sums up,
It
you know.
does. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
Thank you to each person who offered their open mind and their time and their soul to join us today. And we encourage you and praise you and are excited to hear about your spark.
Yes.
And how it creates so much newness and joy in your lives. Love and many blessings. Thank you. I want to offer this sound healing to you and to any part of you that says that you're not enough. And you can fill in the blank. If you were ever told to be quiet and that you couldn't sing in that choir, and you aren't going to be in this choir, and you aren't talented enough to do this. You're not enough of an athlete to be on this team. Whatever you were told to not be chosen with this group of friends or for this job, and know that those voices aren't true. You can be anything that you want to be and everything that you are.
Thank you so very much for joining us on today's transformative journey. We're honored to have shared this space with you, and we hope you're feeling inspired and aligned with your highest self. For more insights, resources, and to continue your path of healing, be sure to visit KarenOlson.com, your gateway to deeper sound healing, music, and wisdom. Remember, Sound Pathways is here every other Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on BBS Radio TV, Station 1. Until next time, stay aligned, stay inspired, and let the magic of sound guide you.